Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com and a sport that never friggin' sleeps. As we say good morning to Mike. And Mike, I got to start with a crazy one. I can't see the Buffalo Bills really wanting to do Hard Knocks. Am I missing something, or were they forced to do it?
Well, the NFL has expanded dramatically and somewhat quietly in recent years the standards for when you can be tapped on the shoulder and told you're going to do Hard Knocks. And there have been teams in recent years that didn't really want it. Remember, the Jets didn't want to do it.
That's right.
And I think that the league collectively has accepted the fact that sometimes you're going to have some individual resistance. But too bad. At some point, you're going to draw the short straw and you have to do it. And I feel like things are moving in that direction where teams no longer are going to fight it. They let them say no to off-season Hard Knocks, and I don't think anybody's ever going to say yes after the Giants debacle from last year.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, God. Hey, yeah.
So hold on. How many Hard Knocks we do? We do training camp. We do in-season division, which I actually like. I thought that was very interesting and refreshing. And then we do are we still doing off-season Hard Knocks?
Well, if they can get somebody to do it. Remember, they were going to do North Carolina, and it was right up to the brink of a decision. It was the Friday of the scouting combine. They were going to announce the deal. There were multiple reports that it was happening, and between Friday and Monday it got derailed, and The Athletic has done some great reporting on the role of Bill Belichick's 24-year-old girlfriend, publicist, handler, creative mill, idea muse, something like that. I don't know. I defer to the acknowledgement section of his book, but she reportedly blew the whole thing up. And there was a report in the New York Times, a very deep dive this week in the New York Times by one of their more respected reporters, that she wanted final say over the content. She wanted partial ownership of the final product. So that, it's consistent with everything I heard back to when this all happened. She blew this up. She wanted too much. She flexed her muscles too strongly, and they just said, this isn't worth it. This is going to be a nightmare having to deal with her.
Mike, I got to tell you, man, we've seen Belichick up close here for 20-something years, and do your job and get rid of, I don't want anything to mess up the chemistry and no drama around here and take care of your business. And then to see him like this is just incredible. This power she has over him is, and it's obvious, I don't think anybody would disagree, even his former players, it's just one of the weirdest off-season stories we've ever had.
Off-season?
Ever.
That's a weirdest lifetime story.
Ever. Yeah.
I mean, I've been doing this 25 years, and this is up in the top three. It is, because he's the last guy you would expect this from.
Right.
Because he's the ultimate no-distraction head coach. And he's the distraction. And now the stuff they're doing from a PR standpoint to try to clean up the mess after the fact. I mean, some of the stuff he's saying, I just flat out rejected as not accurate and saying what needs to be said to try to make a good situation or a bad situation into a good situation. And the best comment I've seen on this came from Cam Newton, who played for the Patriots for a while.
Yeah.
He said, you can't name any player on the North Carolina team other than Jordan Hudson.
It is sad. Right? I don't even recognize any kids from South Florida. You're exactly right. I saw he's got a good budget and everything else with a chance to be successful if we can ever get past his girlfriend.
He sold out the season tickets. And you know, here's the thing: as of June 1, his buyout drops from $10 million to $1 million. Now that's his buyout. The team would owe him obviously the full balance of his 5-year, $50 million salary if they would move on. But as of June 1, he acquires more power in this behind-the-scenes back and forth, what's she allowed to do, what's she not allowed to do. And he could always say to them, hey, you know what, if you push me too hard, I'll write you a check for $1 million and I'll get the hell out of here. And I think that changes the dynamics in a very significant way, and it's only, 9 days away?
Yeah. Hey, we were both, Omar and I, were really surprised that the tush push, I thought it was history once the commissioner had time to get to the owners. And it's back. Did that surprise you?
I was stunned that the proposal that the league instigated the Packers to make, and that is fact. The Packers didn't decide sitting around Lambeau Field, Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst and Mark Murphy, the brain trust. They just, hey, what are we going to do to combat this play the Eagles have? I know. Let's propose a rule to get rid of it. No, the league came to them and pushed them to do it. And they did it. They were used by the league. They took one for the team, and now they're the ones who are associated with. The league wanted this. I believe what happened. I believe the commissioner was sitting in his basement on his leather couch with the bowl of M&Ms watching the NFC Championship between the Commanders and the Eagles. And that sequence where the Commanders were jumping offside repeatedly, I think he saw that and he said, we can't have this. Play's got to go. Even though it's not the Eagles' fault, it was the Commanders coming up with a way to try to stop it that entailed delaying the game and almost awarding a touchdown to the Eagles because of it. I think that was the tipping point. That was the straw that broke the camel's back, and the commissioner said we got to get rid of it. I think this proposal, along with the playoff reseeding that was put on the table by the Lions, both go all the way up to Goodell, and they use teams to try to conceal that.
Hey, while you're talking about the playoff seeds too, I wasn't sure. I thought they'd give them a home game for sure, but I thought they might reseed it to kind of keep everybody happy. And to see the Lions, I was curious why, as you just said, the Lions just pulled it up and said, hey, we're taking it off the table. They just didn't feel they had enough votes, and that thing was going to make everybody look bad.
Yeah, that's the way you save face. In March, if you don't think there's enough votes for your proposal, you table it to May. In May, if there's not enough votes for your proposal, you withdraw it. That's what makes the tush-push outcome so stunning. I think when it was time to go in to the final session and cast the votes, nobody knew if they were going to get to 24. And really, 22 out of 32 teams want to get rid of it. That's more than two-thirds of the league. The only reason it survives is because the NFL's constitution requires a 75% supermajority, not a 66.7% supermajority. If it was 66.7 and some organizations use a two-third supermajority, not three-fourths, if it's two-thirds, it's gone. But with the Lions, they knew they weren't going to come close. And that was one the commissioner wanted, not because of equity or fairness, where you've got a division champion that's 7-10 hosting a wild card team that was 12-5. This is all about, and I don't know that I follow the logic, but this is about trying to make the week 18 games more compelling by not having teams settled in both to their playoff berth and their playoff spot on that 1-7 tree. You know, this past year, week 18, the Sunday afternoon games, they stunk. They stunk.
Yeah.
The Sunday night game, Vikings-Lions, that was great. Saturday had some drama. But the Sunday 1 o'clock and 4:25 games, they had nothing. And the commissioner thinks if you eliminate another reason for teams to rest their starters in Week 18, some of those games will be more compelling.
Speaking of compelling, Aaron Rodgers went on the Joe Rogan show. I read that you sat and listened to all 3 hours of it. I know it's your job, but how difficult was that, number one? And are you surprised that the Steelers are still going to wait on Rodgers to make a decision?
Well, you know, for every player, there's the balance between what he brings to the table and any other issues that may undermine the broader effort to build a team. And I don't know anything about the Steelers locker room from the standpoint of whether or not they're going to accept or reject someone like Rodgers. He can throw a football like few others can. It makes a sound when it whizzes by your helmet that you've never heard before. If he still has that, that goes a long way toward tolerating a lot of the things about Aaron Rodgers. And there was no new revelation about how he is, that perpetual victim mentality that he has. He can't let COVID go. He wants an apology. I don't know from whom. He wants people to be held accountable. He's convinced that everything he believed about the vaccines is 100% right, and anyone who was pro-vaccine is 100% wrong, and there's corruption and there's lying and everything's a conspiracy theory, and it is exhausting. Look, I believe there are situations where people actively try to conceal the truth. I don't believe that every single thing that happens is part of some great cover-up. I don't believe aliens live in the ocean. I don't believe the pyramids were built by an ancient alien civilization. I mean, they went on and on. It is terrifying when you listen to some of the stuff he believes. And the thing that also bothered me, and hey, I don't care about people's political beliefs. You can believe what you want to believe. But man, when he talks about Joe Biden, there's just like a hatred and a meanness, and he's like a grade school bully making fun of, you know, the weak kid in class. There's a glee to it. Like, I was troubled by a lot of it. And my point, I said this today on our show, I just think that somebody in the Steelers organization needs to watch it and listen to it and ask themselves, is this who we want in our locker room? Is this who we want on the team? If you do, that's fine. But is this the guy we want influencing our players? Is this the guy we want? And we've heard the stories over the years. DeShone Kizer said he asked him about whether or not he believes 9/11 happened. CNN reported last year that at the 2013 Kentucky Derby, Rodgers was spreading deranged conspiracy theories about the Sandy Hook shooting. You want this guy to be the center of your universe. You want this guy to influence your organization. If you do, that's fine. But I think that's part of the entire equation that the Steelers need to consider. And throwing the football the way he does goes a long way to more dealing with it. But they keep waiting and they keep waiting. And Art Rooney said yesterday they'll wait a little while longer. I wonder at what point they decide we've waited long enough.
Hey, Mike, just to follow up, I don't know. And listen, we got our own problems down here, but I don't know how good the Steelers are. Even with them, if he goes there and it doesn't go well with all the stuff, that fan base is going to be real difficult on him if he doesn't come in and play really well and win games. It's a tough boat to come into now. It's not like all of a sudden he's making Pittsburgh Steeler fans all excited about what he's saying right now. Do you agree?
Hey, guys, I've lived in and around Pittsburgh within 100 miles. I'm standing 100 miles from the Golden Triangle right now, my entire life. And I've never seen the Steelers behave the way they're behaving this year. The DK Metcalf trade and contract, they've never done anything like that before. $30 million a year to a guy that's never played for the team before? They've never done that. With no quarterback to get him the ball? But bending a knee and holding out the ring for Aaron Rodgers and assuming that position for 2 months and still on one knee waiting for Aaron Rodgers? That's unbecoming to the image that people have of the Steelers. The Steelers fans have been upset about that. That's not what we do. Like Cam Hayward said, you either want to be a Steeler or you don't. I think there's a desperation there for them to get to the playoffs and win a playoff game. They haven't won a playoff game since Kansas City divisional round in early 2017 to cap the 2016 season. That's it. And I think they want to get back and they want to win. And Aaron Rodgers, the player, makes them better because look at what they've had at quarterback since Ben Roethlisberger retired. You put a good quarterback into that team and you've got DK Metcalf. And if Arthur Smith, the offensive coordinator, can whip up the right plays, that's great. But, you know, if it fails, it is going to be a disaster. And it's especially going to stick to Rodgers because one of the reasons he's looking for a team where he can win, do you really want the last chapter of your career to be 5-12?
Yeah.
Where you started 17 games for the New York Jets? I don't think so.
You know, it's funny. You were right about one thing. Being down on the field the day that he came down here before the broadcast, I said, I want to go down and see him. I've heard he lost this. You're right about one thing. He can still zip it, man. Everybody wants to debate that, and he can't throw. I go, if you don't like him, I get it. But physically, Mike, the things you do say about him, you are right. He can throw it off his back foot, front foot, looking the other way. He's got ridiculous talent. So to your point,
two things can be true. He can be a ridiculously talented, all-time great talent, and on the other hand. And I know I can't say the two words together, but I can say ass, and then I can wait a few words, and then I can say hole. He can be that, too.
Hey, Mike.
He's in the Hall of Fame with that one, too.
I was
going
to go ass clown for you because they got mad at me always saying asshole on this show, and I go, all right, ass clown.
Go.
Yeah.
There we go.
Oh, Mike. Mike, thank you so much.
I wasted my effort coming up with a way to say it. Let it fly, baby.
All right. Mike, thank you, man. You have a great memorial.
Take care. Have a great weekend.
All right.